I greet you all this morning in the name of Jesus. This morning we gather together and appreciated the singing, and it's glorious this morning. Thought of someone at the meetings here talked about a choir with 10,000 men in it and singing, and how glorious that would sound. And my daughters were discussing that the other day. And I'd rather be here this morning, just being together with brothers and sisters in the faith and worship here with just a few, but it's glorious. And so I had a couple thoughts here this morning on a scripture. If you turn your open your Bibles to Samuel, 1 Samuel, chapter 30. There we'll have some. We'll be in that portion there most of the for a little time here. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Samuel. There, chapter 30. Familiar scripture here, an account here, and verses 1 through 6. And I wanted to look at it here, and some time ago I felt like the Lord was speaking to me about this scripture here, and how David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And wanted to look at the context of that. Let's just read here verses 1 through 6 here. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Verse 4, then David and the men that were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed for the people's sake. Verse 6 there is one I wanted to, key verse here. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And just wanted to look at that a little bit. That he encouraged himself. And probably a better word for that would be he strengthened himself, would be a word that I would understand a little better. That he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. But David, it says, most of the people grieved and wanted to blame someone. It says, but David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I'd like to just look at the context of this here and at this point in David's life and learn some lessons on how that we could rather better, I would like this ability to strengthen myself in the Lord during difficult days. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would all desire more of this here in our life. And what can we learn from this account here? And so we look at the context of this here, of where David was really at this time. We'll have to back up to chapter 27 there. And I found some beautiful things there in the context there. I found some interesting things. Chapter 27 of 1 Samuel there. David is running from Saul there. And at this point, this is late in the life of late in this period of time where Saul was king and David was running, and David was probably getting pretty weary by now. And it says, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoth, the king of Gath. So he escaped. He fled to the Philistines, to hide from Saul. And interesting there, you know, the Philistines, you know, the uncircumcised Philistines. And verse 3, and David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahiman, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more for him. And I won't read just all of that, but he struck up a really good friendship with the king of the Philistines there, Achish there. And the first says in verse 6 that Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So there he was, living in, he has his own little village there, Ziklag. But he made a league with the Philistines there, and he was just pretty cozy there with the Philistines there. And the question that begs to be asked there is was that guy really God's will, you know, that David would flee to live with the Philistines to escape the path that God had placed before him. And many times in our lives, God places us in a path of sorrow, and the path of sorrow, when we try and flee that, it doesn't work, because God has a specific plan in each one of our lives and the different challenges we face. And it has been said that the path of sorrow and that path alone leads to the land where sorrow is unknown. So, but it appears like David, and there again, I'm not belittling David there. We'll highlight the faith that he had and how he came through this and learned some things from it here. So anyway, now, you know, it looked kind of good there, you know. He found a place of a little comfort, a little escape there. But problem of it was there was a battle brewing between the Philistines and Israel there. And a major battle brewing there. And David is like, you know, in a very bad place to where he has to choose here. And chapter 29, we'll move on to 29 there. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the rear reward with Achish. So David had told the king there that, yeah, I'll go to battle with you, you know, but let me stay. David, I don't know if David really had planned to do this, but David was marching with the Philistines to fight against Israel. And verse 3, then said the princes of the Philistines, what do these Hebrews hear? You know, and Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days and these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me unto this day. And the princes of the Philistines were wroth with him. And the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return, that he may go again to his place which thou hast appointed to him, and let him not go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he be an adversary for us, to us. For wherewith should he reconcile himself unto his master? Should it not be with the heads of these men? So it appears like the princes of the Philistines there objected to David marching out to battle, David and his men. And, you know, the princes of the Philistines could see that something was wrong here. You know, this just is not right. You know, that's what happens in life when we try to evade God's working in our life and take up residence in our own little zigzag somewhere. And the princes of the Philistines cast him out. You know, oh, the shame that David must have felt when the prince of the Philistines said, you know, this isn't right, you know. How could this be? So it doesn't appear like that was really God's heart for David to be with the Philistines at that time. And you know, but there's a tendency that we think that way sometimes. You know, it's been said before that the Philistines were the enemy of Saul, but it's been said before the enemy of my enemy is not my friend or something like that. You know, and it's good to remember that just because we have a problem here and well this guy here, you know, we tend to think that way sometimes. But it never works out because. You know, that's the damage, the terrible damage is done when the world sees our hypocrisy and sees us seeking after vain things for safety and identifying with them. David was seeking just safety there over simply walking the path that God had. And God had promised to protect him through that all also. God had promised him he would be the king. But in a moment of weakness there, in a time of weakness there, David forgot that for a time. So that battle. So David went back to Ziklag, and then we come back to chapter 30 there. And he found Ziklag just destroyed, burned with fire, it says. And verse 4, then of chapter 30, then David and the people that were gone with him lift up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David was great, verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Those are some of the consequences of just being, could we say, double-minded? You know, we see here that the suffering here was mostly endured by David's wife and children through his disobedience and his wandering there. His family suffered, and so it is with us. If we, the weak among us will suffer try and evade. As leaders of our homes and our churches, if we try and evade the path of sorrow sometimes and the hard things of life, why, the weak among us will suffer. And we should consider often are the needs of you know, our children and our wives being met by the path that I'm taking. And it says that he was greatly distressed. A terribly low point in David's life, and what is the question is not, you know, his men, they said, okay, who do we blame for this? You know, somebody need to blame somebody. You know, it says, but verse 6 here, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's a beautiful phrase there. But you know, David chose to not, you know. We have many examples of You know, Saul, just previous chapter or two there, Saul was in great distress there too, you know, and he said, you know, where's a find me a soothsayer, find me a witch, find me a diviner that can help me. And they took him to the witch at Endor there to bring up Samuel, I think it was. But anything but encouraging himself, Saul was a contrast to encouraging himself in the Lord his God. Saul didn't do that. David did. And we'll look at some of the things that he did there. Verse 7 there. So David said to Abiathar, the priest. So first thing he goes is, where's the priest, you know? The priest of God. David had a priest with him. Saul had slaughtered many of the priests of God there. But Abiathar was a priest. If you look him up, he was in the from the family of Eli, and he was dwelling with David. David kept him close by, and he said, this would have been Ahimelech's son. I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. There, going on in verse 7. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now the ephod was I wasn't sure if it was something that the priest wore or if it was an object that they used to discern the will of God in the tabernacle there. And today we don't have an object. Today the discernment that we must go to is we have the indwelling spirit. I think that ephod was a picture of the indwelling spirit of God working through a brotherhood of Christian believers to discern the will of God. And verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So, David didn't sit around. The way he strengthened himself there, he didn't sit around and cast blame. But he didn't sit around and on his hands either and do nothing. It says he inquired from the Lord. And I think that was it says how distressed he was. I think it was God, you know, you can help me. And just a beautiful example there. If we read on there. So verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint they could not go over the brook Besor. They left 200 men behind because of the weariness. And again, you know, going where? He just said, pursue. And David pursued. And it's a picture of blind, you know, faith that we don't, might not have all the answers in a moment like that, but move forward, you know. Take a step forward. And God provided, you know, verse 11. They found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he did eat, and they made him to drink water. So they found this Egyptian slave that the Amalekites had discarded, and they nursed him back to health, and he said, if you spare me, I'll take you to where your family, to where the Amalekites are gone. And again, God opening up doors for David. As David went forward in faith, and he says he inquired, he pursued, he found the Egyptian slave, and it says that he, further on it says he smote and recovered and restored, rescued, and there was even spoil, you know, when he got done. There was much left over. And some beautiful types there of that we can learn from, encouraging ourselves, strengthening ourselves in those difficult things of life. Faith. You know, faith I read some commentaries here on this here, and I'll just share some of these this commentary here. He says, though we shall be tried, yet faith in God is an available resource at all times. Faith is a shield which you may use for rewarding up every kind of arrow, even the fiery darts of the great enemy. For this shield cannot be penetrated even by javelins of fire. You cannot be cast into a condition from which faith shall not help you. There is a promise of God suitable for every state, and God has wisdom and skill and love and faithfulness to deliver you out of every possible jeopardy. And therefore, you have only to confide in God, and deliverance is sure to come. And mainly, note this, that even when your trouble has been brought upon you by your own fault, faith is still available. And that's I think, the lesson, the thing that stuck out to me here is these trials were brought about by his own fault. And sometimes that's hard in life when source of discouragement, when it's because of our own problem, our own faults and our own sins that this trial has before us. And that's when we're most tempted to despair and lose faith. And that was it. It was David's own fault. I mean, it was his, living with Philistines, note this, that even when your trouble has been brought upon you by your own fault, faith is still available. When your affliction is evidently a chastisement for previous transgression, still trust in the Lord. The Lord Jesus prayed for erring Peter that his faith might not fail him. His hope of recovery lay there. Faith under a sense of guilt is one of those noble kinds of faith at which some are staggered. To my mind, the faith of a saint is comparably easy. It is the faith of a sinner that is hard. This trial was a great stepping stone for David, I think. And it ended with him, moving forward. It says he got a lot of spoil from this battle, taking this back from the Amalekites. And what did he do with it? It says that he took it back to Israel, and he shared it with, there was plenty. He shared it with, it gives a list of men that he, villages that he shared it with. There was more than enough, and it speaks of a return for David. And you know what happened immediately after that is that battle did finally occur, and Saul was killed, Jonathan was killed, and it was over. God was dealing with Saul and his kingship, and almost, David was almost involved in the battle where Saul and Jonathan were killed. David was almost fighting against him there, After all that time of David steadfastly saying, I will not touch him, and he is God's anointed. Just how close David came there to ruining all of that, all of his testimony there. We have the testimony today that he waited on the Lord to make him the rightful king of Israel there. And, but it's our self-reliance that will lead us to, it needs to burn like Ziklag did. And that we return to our right senses, to our simple faith in God's plan for our lives, and that will strengthen us in the Lord, our God, there. A couple of verses there in Psalms 18. Psalm 18 was some examples of David's heart there, I found. And as you just, a heart of faith there. And I don't know when this psalm was written here. But we see, I'd like to read a few verses here. It says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And I can just picture, during a time of troubles, this is the faith that David had right here. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. That was the faith of David there. We have a better thing. We have a better faith today. In Hebrews here, we read about Hebrews chapter 4 there, a few verses there, that 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So there's a pattern for us to follow there, to follow Jesus there. You know, he walked us, we sang that song this morning. He was a man of sorrows. You know, he walked his path of sorrows here. And Isaiah said he'd be a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But he did it with joy and gladness. He will empower each one of us to walk that path, and if called to, and to do it with joy and overcoming faith. So, may you, each one of you, be encouraged this morning and to be overcomers. And I think we'll close with that. And God bless you. Thank you.